Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, my dear friends, and welcome to the Saucer Pod and Dog Poet Transmitting from the Sirius Cluster and the Arcturian Brotherhood. We like to believe that we are in the influential radius of collective consciousnesses that radiate from civilizations far in advance of our own, and we need also to say this informational access is available to any one of us who are able to tune in to their frequencies, and that is something anyone who wants to can accomplish in the same way that they can isolate a radio station on a shortwave unit. At first it might be a little daunting because there are so many stations broadcasting, and there's the coarse tuner and the fine tuner, and then there's the knowing who and what you wish to listen to, and you have to know where they are and when they're transmitting. But even if you don't have a program guide, you can find what you are looking for if you are intent on the discovery. There's an old story about how if the only person who had what you were looking for was living in a cave high in the Andes, you would be led there. I can't remember the details of the story now, but I do remember the point of it. I tend to look at many things in this way. I am less concerned about the details and all the colorful associations than I am about the meaning of the whole affair, whatever affair that might be. Besides, you can get lost in the details and all the colorful associations and miss the point altogether. It's said that the devil is in the details. There was a point, not all that long ago, when I thought I had some idea of where I was headed and what I was doing. I don't feel like that anymore. I've gotten to that the day is sufficient unto itself place. I have no idea how it's going to resolve itself now. So many weird things have happened and continue to happen. One doesn't have to do anything to bring them about, it seems. They just happen. For me personally, it is one of the stranger periods or episodes I've come across because I haven't done anything to cause any of it, and usually that is a feature, but now it all comes about on its own. Obviously, there's some sort of planetary configurations involved, and it has something to do with astrocartography. Different things happen to us in different places. I'm sure that all of us can remember somewhere that we would like to visit again, although that place is no longer there because you can't step into the same river twice. And I'm sure we all remember somewhere that we wish we hadn't visited or wound up in, old Lodi fashion. I know there's a Lodi, California. I've never been there, but it used to amuse me whenever I drove down to our house in Italy, because I would always pass an exit that said Lodi, because there's one in Italy too. Lodi is a state of mind, and it's been immortalized by John Fogerty in Creedence Clearwater. The redundant and telling line is, "Whoa, Lord, I'm stuck in Lodi again." Something like that. Sometimes life starts looping. I haven't figured out yet. If it does that because some message hasn't been conveyed and there's no moving on until it does, or if there's a need to imprint the meaning of the loop more intensely than the usual passing experience, or if the record's just stuck. And you have to go around hitting things with your elbow until suddenly you hear that sound that comes when the turntable gets bumped and you wind up in another part of the song, or even a different song altogether if it happens to be an album. Life often strikes me as an album, with each track being something similar to Shakespeare's Seven Ages of Man. We all go through these periods, and once any of those periods is officially moved into the next sequence, the one you left is not to be seen again except in some following life. All that remains is nostalgia and sometimes poignant regret. Of course, memory is a funny thing. It is a common feature of memory that what you tend to remember further up the road is not always an accurate recall. We reshape our memories with the colors from the palette of imagination, and often our memories are not what we would have wished they were, and the only way to make the present more livable is to have a memory that reflects better images than were actually there. I wish I knew more, but then I'm always reminded that knowing isn't the answer. So much of knowing has to do with perspective. It depends on where you are standing, what you know about something. Change where you're standing, and what you know about it changes as well. This is what subjectivity is all about, and subjectivity is the general awareness engaged in by most people these days. Objectivity is little more than what most people want in these times. We prefer to be lost in sensation and experience as opposed to being an apart and impartial witness. Regardless of where most people find themselves at any point in time, it is the ineffable who is always the impartial witness. Always there, but mostly unnoticed. People don't come to God except in times of crisis or when some sudden danger appears, like an automobile malfunction on the highway, and inadvertently they cry out, "Oh my God!" There's nothing like crisis and danger to get your mind set right as to what your priorities are or should be, or you wish they had been prior to. You got your mind right now, Luke? I've been living in this little round cabin in the jungle now for almost a year, and it's been okay except for that unfortunate event in July about which nothing ever got done, but I do have a police commission meeting coming up in a couple of weeks, and as I said, except for that, things have been more or less okay, but then my landlady's son showed up. He's one of those not very bright, but very, very suspicious and paranoid types. And he hadn't been here but a few days when he started throwing his weight around me, and I had to let him know that he had no power or influence with me, and that my arrangement was with his mother, not him. I had to go to her about it, and she said she would talk to him, and she said he was peculiar and had certain issues. I don't much like that word. It always comes across as a kind of an excuse to me. Anyway, I managed to find a workable interplay with him, and all has been pretty well for some months, except when occasionally his peculiarities surface, but they've been more or less muted. And then a few days ago, he came to me and asked for my help in getting a motorcycle from China off the Alibaba site. Now, I know Alibaba.com, and I told him it was a wholesale site, and he was unlikely to get this motorcycle that he was after for about $700, where the usual price would be closer to $2,000 when you figure in the shipping and the cost from a retail dealer. He insisted that he had found one of the wholesalers who would do it, so one piece, and asked me to arrange the details for him. I said I'd look into it, and I did, and it did say that they were selling one piece, but it turned out that what that one piece was meant to be was one container load, which amounted to 20 motorcycles, and I told him this, and I told him I would look around a bit more. He grunted something, and I could tell that he wasn't happy about it. And the truth of the matter is, and I could see this, he simply didn't want to hear the truth because it went contrary to what he wanted. He's of a type, and that type is inherently selfish and also controlling and with a bullying nature if he sees he can get away with it. So out of the blue, the next day, he started screaming at me about something else, but it was about this, really. Then he told me to get off the property, and he was calling the police. He's, of course, in no position to do this, so I ignored him. And at that point, his mother came out because she had heard the disturbance, and she was upset with him, but he's really not to be reasoned with. And he's her cross to bear, though, and in matters like this, one has to know that blood is thicker than water. Oh, you know why? He has a lot of characters like his running around. Anyway, the thing is, my landlady likes to go away every year for a few months, and that will be happening in January. And it is clear to me that once she is gone, he will go into his proprietary mode, and life will become unlivable for me here. So I had to tell her that I would be moving on come the beginning of the year. Now, I'm telling this story for a reason, and it has nothing to do with some desire to talk about my own life, because I don't usually enjoy that sort of thing, unless there's something useful to be extracted from it, and in this case, there is. For some while here, I've been wondering about my location, wondering about being on this island at all, and I felt like I'm in a holding tank the whole time I've been here. I have only the most tenuous contact with life as it goes on around me here, and one day follows the next, and I can only think that some major change is coming, and I'm waiting on it. I went outside yesterday and was walking to my kitchen and wondering about this latest imperative toward change, and one of the agents of the ineffable came into my mind and said something like, "You must understand that whenever something happens, it seems to make no sense that my hand is involved, and I have arranged the experiences to bring you to the next state of understanding or some new location of resonance. And you may also assume as truth that having initiated the experience, I am fully in command of all the stages to follow, and you have only to trust me and rely on me, and all will be well." You might want to simply accept that this is always the case. Well, I guess there's no rest for the weary in these times. Then again, it is possible I could become stagnant in this situation, and it's certainty that this is not a spiritual environment, because I can feel that. And that was probably the only disappointment I have about this place. I thought, what with being out here in the embrace of nature and in my own private little sector of it, that there would be all kinds of invisible activity, but that has not been the case. It's not especially positive or negative, more like a form of neutral, and that certainly would define a holding tank. Like I said, it's been weird for a while, and it was weird before I got to this particular zone, so I can't blame it on the island, and I would be willing to blame it on myself, but I haven't done much of anything to warrant the weird. However, there's always karma, but somehow I don't even get that. What I get is some kind of strange combination of forces with some as yet unknown objective, and all I can say at this point is that it's taken a long way around. I don't know how the rest of you see your lives, how you qualitate your existence and against what and to which given end, whether your life is all about those components that compose your life, or whether it's about those components that compose you, or whether you're simply adrift on a sea of forgotten teardrops, as Jimi Hendrix is wont to say. But for me, the whole of my existence is about that which gives my existence meaning, and that is the ineffable, because I have seen what my life is, both with and without the ineffable. And without the ineffable, there is nothing else that fills the emptiness left by the absence of the ineffable. And with the ineffable, then everything else is backlit with a wonderful light that reveals the inherent truth and value of it all, and none of it possesses any truth or value unless the ineffable is present. And the ineffable has gone to great lengths to make this clear to me. On any number of occasions, the ineffable has taken everything I had. There must have been some reason for that, and all I can do is compare my experiences to those I have read about and the lives of those I seek to emulate, and it seems to be about making sure that nothing else takes up the space which the ineffable wants to occupy. And the ineffable, being as committed as I know the ineffable to be, continues to kick everything else out of that spot. For some, this might be the very worst thing in the world, because you aren't allowed to hold on to anything else, and sooner or later, no matter what comes into your life, it's going to get evicted at some point. Maybe it is that way for everyone, but it's expressed differently and interpreted differently. For me, this is the only way I can interpret it. Eventually, the Almighty becomes the absolute centerpiece of your existence, and along the way, everything that can be thrown at you will be thrown at you until the ineffable has taken full possession of his location within. For those lucky few, this will take place with a minimum of hardship, and for others, it is bad highway for a seemingly unendurable stretch. Whatever it is what it is for a very good reason, and the why and wherefore of that is known only to the ineffable. Maybe it had something to do with developing the required qualities of being, and some of us have those already, or a larger part of them, and some of us don't, but are on our way there. I can sincerely say that I don't know, but I'm here, and whatever the ineffable has in mind, that is what I have in my mind also, even if I have no idea what that is. All right, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, you have my prayers that your own journey shall not be too egregious, and may you each and every one find the peace and serenity that awaits within. Now that said, Allah Akbar, much love, Lady Nature, Hare Krishna, hail Lord Jesus Christ, greetings my good friend Lord Ganesh, Om Amitabha, carry on Baha'u'llah, aloha and haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.